T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He is brought to you by CSEA Local 830. We work for you by the auto leasing app Honker, spelled H-O-N-C-K-E-R, and by the new NFL experience, Times Square. Step into the game. Our good buddy does a great job covering the Jets. Knew they were going to lose when he picked them to lose. But I figured they were going to lose anyway because I knew it wasn't. This was a typical game the Jets lose. But anyway, here is Brian Costello. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I could be better.
What made you think against this Buccaneer team without the quarterback, without Mike Evans, the Jets coming off a great win, what rang in your ear, Brian, that said, you know what, this team's going to disappoint their fan base?
I really didn't like what I saw in the locker room last week. I sensed overconfidence, and I think they kind of took the cheese, so to speak, that everyone was feeding them about how well they played against Buffalo and the dancing defense and how great that was. And they were just, I don't know, I felt like the Jets felt like they arrived last week against Buffalo, and that scared me, you know, and I kind of thought that all week. And I asked Bowles about it on Friday, and, you know, he said, we have no reason to be overconfident. We're 4-5. So I said, but did you tell your players that? And he said, I didn't have to. And I was kind of like, I think if I was the head coach, I would have been driving that message home all week that we haven't achieved anything, you know, forget about last week, move on. And it didn't seem like that was really the case last week.
Now, this is why when I read columns like I read your colleague, my buddy Steve Sarvey today, how Bowles has changed the culture in the locker room. No, he hasn't, because the culture doesn't change until they stop losing games like that. And they stop losing games that they hand away like they did to Miami and even the Atlanta game. I'm not even going to get on them for the New England game.
Right.
They would have lost that game anyway. So that's when the culture changed. I know they're playing for him. I know he's got it's not Ben McAdoo. He's got control of the locker room. I get that. But until they stop, you know, losing games like they did to Tampa Bay last week, the culture is not changing, Brian.
I think the culture is in the process of being changed. I don't think it's changed completely yet. This isn't last year, you know, and they're fighting and pointing fingers at each other.
Yes, I understand that.
They're learning, but this is a team that's learning to win. You know, they have not arrived at the point yet when they can just show up and win games and play poorly and win games. They have to play well every week to win games, and so. Dealing with prosperity sometimes is tougher than dealing with adversity. I think the Jets showed you that last week. They didn't handle it well when coming off their best game. So I'm not sure if it reflects the culture as much, Joe, as just where they are in the terms of learning how to win as a team.
Brian, I got to tell you, I am so sick and tired of hearing the word culture. I heard it with my basketball team for 2 years now.
Amen.
And now I
got to
hear with the football team, culture, win games.
Amen.
Win games.
Amen.
Culture. I'm so sick of this.
God bless.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's, you know, when teams lose, they have bad cultures. When teams win, they have good cultures. It's funny how that works out. I think it's a product of winning and losing. When you're losing, people are frustrated. People say things like what happened with the Giants last week. They say, give anonymous quotes and rip the coach. That kind of thing happens. You don't see that with a winning team. So, yeah, I do think in the media, the culture gets overrated a lot of times.
When you look at this football game and you're in that locker room and you saw overconfidence, God bless you for seeing it. I saw a defense that in the first half, other than one drive, was outstanding. They were forcing 3-and-outs. They forced a turnover, the Dow Roberts interception. This came down to an offense that stunk.
Terrible.
An offensive line
terrible.
That was garbage.
This is the worst game your offensive line had all year.
Yeah, the offense was terrible. The offense was terrible. I would just say, I don't know if I'd use the word forced, Evan, with the defense. I think the Bucs offense was terrible as
well.
And they just
that's
figured out a way to win.
I think
if they were playing a team, you know, if they come out and play that way against the Panthers and what we saw last night, they're going to lose 49-0.
Saying you're wrong, bro. I'm just saying that they gave up three points in the first half.
The offense was terrible.
Right.
And we've talked about the offensive line and are they better than we expected? And they have been better than we expected, but they were absolutely awful on Sunday.
Yeah, they were awful.
The Buccaneers came into that game with 8 sacks on the season, and they gave up 6 sacks in the game. And it was everybody. They were coming from all over the place. And then they just couldn't run the ball. They averaged 2.9 yards a carry after what they did against Buffalo. And really, the yardage total ended up being way skewed because of those last two drives in the fourth quarter. But they did nothing offensively in this game.
And penalties got to stop. I mean, to me, this is on Bowles. I mean, I understand there were some bad calls. I thought the call on Marcus May with the interception with illegal contact was a joke. I thought the Dow Roberts pass interference was a huge call, was a joke. With that said, the first play of the game, opening kickoff, you know, illegal block in the back. Two plays later, there's the holding penalty.
Holding.
I mean, over and over and over. And I don't think they started a drive beyond their own 30-yard line the entire game. They had terrible field position, but a lot of that was the penalties. I mean, this has got every game is 8 to 10 penalties, Brian.
Yeah, and they end up starting with 1st and 20.
All the time.
The drive is dead before it starts, and then the penalties on third down on defense that keep drives going are constant. And, yeah, you can argue with the calls, but it just keeps happening.
Yeah.
Every single week, they're having 8 to 10 penalties a week. And I know Bowles, it's driving him crazy. He's tried to address it. I just think this might be who this team is, really. And when you have, when you're out there and you're not quite as talented as the guy you're against, sometimes you grab, and that leads to holding, and that leads to pass interference. I think that's what we're seeing happen some of these times because, Brian Winters was overmatched by Gerald McCoy.
Oh, God.
He just had no answer for him, and he started grabbing, and he got called for holding twice. So that's kind of just what happens.
I think what also makes it frustrating is you look at the mediocrity of the AFC right now and what it may take to just be in a playoff race or make the playoffs. Right now, the Buffalo Bills, who've been a mess against the Jets and the Saints, they're leading that second wild card spot at 5-4. And then you got a lot of 4 and 5 teams, whether it's the Dolphins or the Ravens or the Raiders. I mean, they blew a golden opportunity to at least be relevant.
Yeah, because and now you're hitting a stretch where you're playing. They've got the Chiefs coming up. They've got the Patriots. They've got the Saints. Those are 3 of the top 5 teams in football, probably. Now the schedule gets a lot tougher, and they didn't take advantage of some of these games they should have won, like the Buccaneers game, the Dolphins game in Miami. They could have beat Atlanta. They're going to look back, I think, after the season and look at those games and shake their heads at why they didn't win those games.
Yeah, no question. We're talking to Brian Costello, talking about the Jets with him. Who is this guy that was returning? I mean, the kick returning game.
JoJo.
It's not JoJo Townsell either.
JoJo Townsell.
The kick returning game is a farce as far as I'm concerned. And how about these guys? I couldn't believe it. I know the game, we're going to lose the game anyway. I think it was 15-3. This JoJo guy, the kickoff, he takes it out of the end zone. What are you doing? You're going to get the ball to 25. He winds up on a 10-yard line. He should be cut now. Cut him. Just cut him. come on. You think we'll ever see like a guy return? Like even like a 10-yard return would be like something. You know what I mean?
And what's amazing is you guys remember that stretch the Jets had
Leftoff,
where they returned kicks all the time. Different guys.
Justin Chad
Miller,
Morton,
Joe McKnight.
Oh, Leon Washington, Brad Smith. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They went
through a stretch where I think they had a kick return every year.
No doubt.
Now, the kickoffs have changed since then. They moved the kickoffs to try to reduce the kickoff return.
Right.
So that is part of it. But I asked Brant Boyers, the special teams coach, and I asked him last week, how's he dealing with this with the lack of return? And he said, you have no idea. It drives me crazy every single day. I feel like we're close. We're one block away, but we're just not getting there. So they've tried different guys back there. They tried Natson, who is 150 pounds. He's got to be one of the smallest guys I've ever seen on an NFL field. They tried him, and even before our Darius Stewart hurt his groin last week, they were working with Natson. So I think that was just a strategic move. They're just trying different guys back there, trying to find something that works. But they aren't coming close in my eyes.
And one of the big plays of the game, and it really went unnoticed because they wound up losing the game anyway, and it would have been a lot worse, was Lachlan Edwards saving a punt return touchdown, a punt return on a touchdown, a touchdown for a punt return. And they actually stopped them, too. They got a nice return, and then they held them to a 3-and-out right after that.
Yep.
But that play got lost in the shuffle because of the fact that they wound up losing anyway.
No, and Edwards didn't have his best day punting. He had a few shanks that he actually got
rolls on him.
Yeah, he got rolls that he lucked out on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made a nice play there, and he's been good for most of the year. I didn't think he had a great game punting on Sunday, but he made the big tackle.
Right.
You look back at the beginning of the year, there's been a lot of stunning things. The fact they're even 4-6 is stunning, but what would have stunned me maybe the most is the idea that Josh McCown could play all 16 games.
Could be.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to happen? Because they're in a weird spot right now where they're they're not really out of it. I know it's unrealistic to think they're in it, but they're also not out of it at 4-6 when 5-4 leads the second wild card spot. So how do you handle this now coming out of the bye with the quarterback position?
Well, I mean, Bowles was pretty clear on Monday when he spoke to us that he's not changing quarterbacks. You know, he said he sees no scenario right now where he would change quarterbacks. Now, if they go out and lose the next four games, does that change things? You know, last year he waited till they were 3-9 before he gave Bryce Petty that trial at the end of the year. They were, you know, so they're mathematically out of it. You're right. At 4-6, they're still mathematically in it, and we're all just projecting losses for some of these games. Obviously, the coaches aren't thinking that. So, I mean, McCown has never played 16 games in his 15-year career. He's never gone 16 games. I think the closest was, you think, you had 13 or 14 one time. So it would be shocking if he did play 16 games. But after hearing Bowles yesterday, I don't think that's even a thought changing quarterbacks.
But Brian, in his defense, like, that number to me is usually 8 or 9 losses. When you get to 8 or 9 losses, you're done. I mean, you do the math.
Yeah.
They're not going to get to 8 or 9 losses for a couple of weeks at least. Obviously, they're 4-6. Yeah. So what are you supposed to do? Like, what's the right answer? Because if you insert Bryce Petty or Christian Hackenberg right now, you are giving up on the season.
You're waving the white flag. Yeah, no, I agree with him. I think I wouldn't be thinking of it if I was in his shoes. I wonder how the front office feels. You know, do they want to see if Hackenberg can play after drafting him in the second round? But the way the structure is set up, you know, McCagnan and Bowles are on equal ground. Bowles controls who plays, not McCagnan. So it's his decision. And I think I agree with him right now. I wouldn't go to it. And again, too, like, you're waving the white flag, not just to the fan base, you're waving it to the other guys in the locker room. They know that Josh McCown's the best quarterback on the roster right now. So I think they have to ride this out, and, you know, maybe the last two games of the season, if they're out of it, they give Hackenberg a chance. I'm not sure if that'll happen or not, but right now it's hard to see the scenario other than that, unless they're completely out of it with a couple games left in the season.
Here's my every week I got to give you my series that makes me delirious call. Okay, so here it was. Because
there was a lot.
No, there was a lot of them. But I always love these. So the first down, they throw a little swing pass to Robbie Anderson, gets 7 yards. Now it's
second and three.
Okay, second and three. I know they couldn't run the ball, but God forbid they run it there. Second down, McCown throws a pass. I think it was to Powell that he missed him by 20 yards. It was unbelievable. Yep. And then on third down, we got to throw the ball again because our offensive line's playing great. McCown's under big pressure and winds up, you know, throwing the ball basically into the ground, punt. Every game, they get a 7 or 8 yard play on first down and don't get the first down. That makes me delirious.
Yeah, and I didn't understand on Sunday, too, where the screen game went. I thought the screen game was pretty good for them.
Well, Forte not playing was huge.
Powell and McGuire are both good receiving running backs.
Now, you're 100% right. Where was the swing passes to the running backs? You're right.
Just forget the running backs involved in the passing game. Where was Seferian Jenkins all day?
They didn't throw the ball to him until 5 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, so yeah, there was some head-scratching things about John Morton.
Yeah, he's a little shaky, too, this Morton. He's a little shaky. No, he is.
He's
shaky.
So, but he did not have a good day Sunday.
No, it was terrible. It was terrible. It's so typical, Jets. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, the cultural change when they don't lose games like that anymore.
The one that drove me crazy.
Sorry, bro. I apologize.
It's all right.
When they got down to the 12, then they had the sack.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then he threw the ball
in the end zone. It should have been intercepted on that play right before halftime. He hit the cornerback in the hands. He dropped it.
Yeah. And then they're running the ball on third and long from the 30 to try to set up a field goal.
They got a holding penalty before that field goal again.
Yeah, that series was brutal. They actually went down the field and then they ended up settling for a field goal right before halftime. And the third and long give up draw when you're on.
Oh, that was horrible.
I can't stand that play. Every team does it. Every offense.
Well, here's another play too. When you say that, I forgot about this play. And this is on the defense and made me nuts too. Right after Roberts gets that bogus pass interference call, but whatever we called it.
I know where you're going.
Third and 15, a pitch out. Yeah. Can you tackle the guy? You let him go. I mean, it wasn't like it was Barry Sanders that ran for 20 yards.
I actually watched that play. I do a film analysis on NYPost.com of a couple plays. That was one of the plays I picked, and I watched it this morning. It was a perfect call. The Jets had 60 DBs on the field, right?
Right.
It ended up being a guard and a tackle blocking Jamal Adams and Terrence Brooks. Coney Ealy gets blown off the ball by the tight end. He should have had to contain. He gets blown. And if you watch Justin Burris, if you go back and watch that play, watch Justin Burris. I don't know what he's doing. He runs after the receiver like it's a pass play. So he ends up on the other side of the field, took himself completely out of the play.
Mm.
It was a great call by Tampa. And the guy, it wasn't even missed tackles, really. They just blocked it beautifully and ran the play 21 yards for a first down.
By the way, one other thing, too. Coney Ealy, I love what he's done so far, blocking passes. Yeah. There was a play early in the game. He's got Fitzpatrick dead to rights as a sack,
but he's
got his hands up trying to block the pass. Go tackle the guy. Can he tackle him?
He
I'm screaming. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Ealy does some nice things, but you can also see why the Panthers and Patriots got rid of him. He's just not – he's missing a little something to be a complete player.
Yeah. Well, you didn't try to tackle Fitzpatrick on that play. I was screaming.
Yeah.
Oh, the pain, Brian. You got to watch a game with me occasionally. You'll have it's an eye-opening experience.
Put that on video.
Yeah, you know what I mean, Brian?
On that one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Brian, Periscope.
Great job, Brian.
Brian, you're doing a great – enjoy. You're getting a week off, or what do they got you doing?
I got to do something. I got to write a few things, but, a little rest. Going couch shopping right now.
Couch shopping.
Couch? Yeah. Like the couch, you mean?
We moved. I got to buy a new couch.
Yeah, he's got to buy stuff.
By the way, do me a favor. Don't be writing anything about Bulls getting an extension, okay? I don't want to get into that.
I heard Macchiato got crushed yesterday.
Well, then he deserves to be crushed. I mean, come on.
No, when it comes to the extension, I say talk to me January 1st. I'll give you my answer then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No reason to do it before
now. Of course not.
Unless you're Dolan and Isaiah, you don't do that.
Yes.
Right. Let's see how these six games go, and then we'll talk about an extension.
All right, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
All the love, Brian.
Brian Costello on the Jets.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.